Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi gang, welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. That guy's called Jim Campbell.
Hello.
This guy's called Luke Moore.
All right.
And the people guy is called Pete Donaldson.
The people guy?
Is a man of the people, ladies and gentlemen.
People Donaldson.
People Donaldson.
Peep Donaldson.
People just do Donaldson.
Yeah. People Peep Donaldson.
That sounds like a TV show I don't want to watch.
But we'll end up somehow being in.
Yeah.
Normally in the same sentence, it is the people versus Peep Donaldson.
I didn't commit the crime, but if I did commit the crime, this is how I'd do it.
You'd still stick up for yourself, though, wouldn't you? You'd take them all on.
Yeah.
And my money would be on you. Mm. Have you ever represented yourself in court, Pete?
No, I've never been part of a criminal case.
Pete Donaldson, always outnumbered, never outgunned.
Never outfunned.
Yeah.
Never found out. More like.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not the forum to discuss such things.
No.
No.
I fear.
Only God can judge me.
No, that's.
No.
We can all do that quite easily, Peter.
When everyone else is finished. Yeah. Just,
I'm doing it now.
Yeah, okay.
It's very easy.
No, you're undressing me with your eyes. That's a different thing.
No, it's the same to me.
It's very easy to judge Pete, ladies and gentlemen. Just get to know him.
Yeah.
That's all you've got to do.
That doesn't even take that long.
No.
Just follow him on Twitter.
No. As you can tell, long term listeners to this show will know that he does put it all out there. So it's easy to learn.
That's enough. He's a good man, Peter. I'm joking.
Yeah.
Okay. Wayne Rooney's retired from international football.
He has. Mm.
He's gone. He's gone from the England schedule.
Which I'm pleased about because it was going to be a fairly tiresome will he, won't he be recalled type debate the moment he, well, the way his club career appears to be going at Everton. So I'm pleased he's taken the plunge. So
that said, though.
Yeah, he's clearly going to have the same sort of newspaper headlines going, bring him out of retirement!
Yeah, no.
Bring him out of retirement!
It's already started. There was an interview with Roy Hodgson like talking about the announcement where Jeff Shreves basically said, you know, do you think he'd be tempted to return? And Hodgson was like, I'd imagine sooner or later he probably will be. Yeah.
Hodgson, oh God, let him retire.
Hodgson actually started that by saying, "Well, as you know, I'm not a gambling man." I thought, "No, you're not a gambling man, are you?
No.
Let's play it very safe."
Yeah.
And we also found that out.
Also, at what point does the media at large accept a retirement? Are they going to be talking about, you know, Gary Lineker again?
Yeah, yeah. He's still only 31. To be fair,
Lineker.
he looks 31.
He looks fantastic.
He looks well. Yeah, he looks very well.
Yeah,
I love the manner of it as well. Apparently, Gareth Southgate rang him to sort of see if he'd be interested in joining up with the squad, and he just retired. Yeah. Classic Southgate luck.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he turning into Keegan Southgate? Yeah.
Yeah. No, was that not like, kind of like he wanted him, and he went, "No, this is the time for me to say no."
Because, I think that's,
yeah, I think it's kind of like,
I think
nah.
That's probably a good idea. Actually, this is why he never came out and announced his retirement because people would have said.
Well, no one's asking you.
We weren't getting back in, mate.
Yeah.
But now he can say.
Oh, you absolutely had to wait for that to happen.
Yeah, you can't sack me. I quit.
Otherwise, it's like when, you know, Darius Vassell retires from international football in like 2010.
Has he?
Well, if he'd,
I don't know.
If Wayne Rooney had retired before, like the Euros, I mean, he would have been 29/30. I mean, that's not a good time to retire from international football.
Boss goals-esque, isn't it?
Your beloved Alan Shearer retired. I mean, was it 30?
But he was ravaged with injury. To be fair, Rooney's. Apart from his body shape, his physicality, he's not spent a lot of time on the bench. He's just been benched a lot, but not for his own reasons.
He had a miraculous amount of Mourinho-led niggly injuries last season. But I think the time is, and Marcus made this point earlier before we came on, the time... When Rooney's retiring, which is now, is to actually celebrate his career and talk about the positives. Because we can all sort of be churlish about it and petty and go, well, he didn't do this and he didn't do that. But actually, you look at his career, both at club and international level, he's had quite a good time of it. He's not done badly.
And people, yeah. people may say, "Oh well, hang on a minute." Anyone, you know, you're just
anyone who
off-
talks like that, I wouldn't want to listen to anyway.
Oh well, hang on a minute. Don't talk to me about Wayne Rooney, okay? No, if you look at Rooney's career just for a moment at England level, it's an exceptional international career, purely for the fact, even if you take in isolation that he's England's top goalscorer of all time, he's England's top goalscorer
yeah.
of all
yeah,
time.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, a lot's made of that he only scored one goal at World Cups, but I only read this today, this is really interesting, only Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer have scored more goals at tournaments. Mm. Which is astounding.
Yeah, you mean at World Cups?
No, at tournaments.
Of the goals he scored at international level, 37 of them came in qualifiers and tournaments. So, I mean, obviously he got a fair few at European Championships. And it's not a stretch to say that if he didn't contribute that vast amount of goals in qualifiers, I mean, you could always say, yeah, someone else would have scored them, but they didn't. He did.
Yeah.
37 goals out of his, was it 53 he got in total, I think. In competitive games, he's very, very strong, and that's aside from the fact that some people will say, oh, you know, but he never really performed at a tournament. Well, find me a player in England that has performed at a tournament in our lifetime. It doesn't really happen that often.
He had a fantastic year in 2004. I know we have to go back to his debut, but he still did it.
He did, Jim. You're absolutely right. And that's a fair point.
And at club level, he won 5 Premier League titles, an FA Cup, 3 League Cups, a Champions League, and a Europa League, and a World Club Cup as well. And it is worth bearing in mind that his trophies were won across 10 years. So his first trophy was a Premier League, I think, in 06-07, and his last was the Europa League in just last season. So, I mean, clearly a hugely long career as well. Great longevity in his football, which is great to see.
And actually, he was great for stunning moments, wasn't he? I mean, a hat-trick on his debut in the Champions League. That is
absolutely
phenomenal.
Well, he hasn't
retired
from club football, gentlemen.
No, of course not. But, I mean, you know, it's still, he is a player that has done so much that stands out. And I think people look at Rooney now as a bit of a drudge, do you know what I mean? A bit of a spent force. And he used to be able to light things up. And you know.
He had a great combination of English steel and toughness and good sort of continental flair as well in his pomp. I know he's still playing, and I do take that point. But an interesting quote came from Gary Lineker, actually, who called him a player's player, which I think is really, really important, because the criticism you get towards Wayne Rooney does tend to be from people who haven't played the game. Now, we are in that bracket. You speak to an ex-player or a manager, and they'll say he's got to play. And we're talking about good players say that as well. Good managers say that. Wayne Rooney's got to play. I was on the radio earlier today talking to Ray Parler. You know, he's had a good career, Ray Parler. He said exactly the same thing. Wayne Rooney's a brilliant player. I can't understand as an ex-player why people don't rate him. Which is interesting, I think, which is why I thought Gary Lineker crystallised it quite well, was saying he was a player's player. Maybe if you need that insight of playing at the top level to realise exactly what he offers, even when he doesn't look like he's bringing in these spectacular moments that Jim was mentioning.
Well, he was one of the first players that our generation kind of grew up with, effectively, in that, like, we've seen his entire career, and we will continue to see his entire career. Like, in the same way that we saw most of Beckham's as well, that kind of generation was kind of like, oh, I've watched him make his debut at 16 or 17 and then just got all the way through and the picks. And you remember how good he was at his first tournament. You remember how good he was for the first couple of seasons for Everton and the first few for Manchester United. Imagine 2006, 2007 vintage Wayne Rooney, fit. I mean, you know, he'd walk
into
any team.
Back in the day, didn't he?
He did. I mean, look, if someone said when he scored that goal for Everton against Arsenal, we'll go right back to the start of his career. If you said, because we see some English players burst onto the scene, you think, oh, they look pretty good, and then they don't do much, or then they go on to have respectable careers, and that's fair enough. If you said, well, that guy there who just scored that goal, he's going to become England's top scorer of all time, I mean, come on. Yeah. And I think, actually, that the reason why people got a bit fed up with Rooney at England level is because I think there are some fair comments that his style of play didn't perhaps suit a couple of the other players around him, and maybe that particular system didn't complement him.
The sendings off, the Algeria comments, the camera lens and stuff, that doesn't indeed matter. It's not befitting of a captain,
Pete,
certainly.
That's pretty fair.
You mentioned something quite interesting that I found quite interesting anyway, where you said we've watched his career from start to finish. Now, of course, we hope he's got a lot more to offer for Everton this season, and you know, he started the season very strongly. But the first two... the two players I can remember that, as in you watch it from start to finish, was David Beckham and also Michael Owen.
Yeah.
But obviously Rooney came along a bit after that. But one of the things I do like about Rooney is I think, you know, these days he comes across as quite a good bloke. Like, I think he's made his mistakes in the public eye, and they are there for everyone to see. Mm. And you know, he's a young man when most of them happened.
He's just out of his 20s as well. You sort of forget that, don't you? Because you've been living with exactly.
And I think he's matured into. He seems like a quite. I watched a documentary, which I know is a bit of a PR puff piece, but he's still coming. You can always see if someone's like a kind-hearted, like gentle type person. Yeah. He seemed nice.
There's been other documentaries about other people, and they're not always favourable.
One of the things that he was brilliant was when we talked about it on earlier in the week. Mm. Going for Globe when he got punched out by Phil Bardsley, and then he did that celebration.
Yeah, yeah.
That celebration was amazing. If it wasn't Wayne Rooney doing that, everyone would be going, that is a legendary celebration for him to react to those press headlines in that way.
Oh, I completely
fantastic.
Agree.
And well, actually, it's like he's shushing to the City fans, isn't it, this week and his tweet afterwards.
We'll come to that, but with regards to say, like, just to take the Algeria comment when he said, you know, nice to have your own fans booing you, it's kind of a fair point, though. He shouldn't do it, don't get me wrong, but if your fans are going to boo you, no one's more frustrated than those players walking off the pitch. But I'd also say about World
After
Cups.
After a goalless draw with Algeria, let's not forget what the score was.
Hang on. The worst game I've ever seen.
I do agree with that, which is why I mentioned it in the introduction to the Ramble book. But, you know, clean sheet, we forget that. But in the 2014 World Cup, the reason why I think people look at Wayne Rooney's England career and go, is because I think that a lot of people, he came along at a similar time to Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi, and it was often in the English media only, talked about Ronaldo, Messi, Rooney. And Rooney, well, even those two have not had the best of times at international
football. Only recently kind of nailed it on the international level, after being a kind of a lone kind of figure for a long time.
Sure, yeah, but I think people wanted Rooney to really grab this England team, or the England team, right, by the scruff of the neck, like he did in 2004. Mm. And he never really did that. Now, in 2014, England lost to Italy, and against Uruguay, they needed to rally, and he got the goal. And had England have gone through from that group, if they'd got a better result, I think that was his time, actually. He got the equaliser, and everyone thought, finally he's got his World Cup goal. If England got a draw, he'd play Costa Rica. I know I'm getting into ridiculous, unnecessary chaos theory kind of territory.
No, I take the point. I think it's a fair point.
I think that was his time. And if it wasn't for England, you know, doing the old self-destruct and then Europe, with Suarez mugging us off and all that kind of business, I really thought that was it. And it was almost robbed from him, in a sense. I know that's perhaps harsh language.
I think as well, though, Wayne Rooney was probably the most talented, you could argue, and certainly the most high-profile player in a team, in an England team that effectively just, you know, underperformed for a whole generation. So sooner or later, you're going to become the lightning rod for that.
With England, with international football, it's very, very condensed and very, very. There's not a dilution there. When you're playing at club level, you play for years and years and years and years, and you play pretty much, if you're fit and healthy and you're good, you play every week. And the quality tends to rise to the top, and that's why Wayne Rooney's won a load of trophies. At international level, you get a chance every 2 years, and the cards have to fall in your favour, and you have to have at least, I mean, even if you go back to sort of people talking about Maradona in 86 and stuff, Maradona had some good players around.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, so you can talk about players winning trophies on their own. Yeah, Maradona at Napoli, Maradona at the World Cup, and fine, that's not the time for that. This is not the time for that discussion. But Wayne Rooney needs to have some good quality players around him as well. Mm. And I wonder, looking back on that in quotes, golden generation, which is ridiculous. I mean, that name should only really be bestowed upon a group of players retrospectively.
Gary Neville once probably rightly called it England the Tony Blair years.
Right, okay.
And
okay.
It's much more fitting if
so
you think about it.
It's not always a situation where a player is able to win something at international level. And you made a good point there, Peter, about Cristiano Ronaldo. It has to fall in your favour, and luckily for Ronaldo, it has done. Of course, he's played a big part in that, but he didn't score the goal in the final, for example. You know, other players have to come in and do their bit as well.
So. And he broke his foot during a tournament as well, so I mean, that's not ideal.
When he was
either,
on absolute fire as well. Yeah. And so, you know, in summary, a great international career, and we hope he's got more to offer at club level than I'm sure he has.
And hopefully he'll do, you know, a totty or something like that when the tournament comes around. Imagine. As you were alluding to earlier, Jim. Yeah, go on then. Go on then. Yeah.
And it wasn't me alluding to that. It was Jeff Shreve. I'd like to distance myself from that.
I think it was everybody's thinking that.
It's sometimes easy to get you two confused. Yeah.
A bit like your politics, Jim. You're only saying what everyone's thinking.
Yeah.
Rooney, though, going on about some more his humorous side, that tweet he sent out. Sent out, he flyed.
Yeah.
A tweet of him celebrating in front of the Etihad faithful when they were all sort of giving him the V's and all the rest of it, with the caption saying, "Always nice to see a few familiar faces."
Oh, that's great.
There was a couple where they're actually. I saw one where it was that picture and an old picture where the same two fans, but clearly about 6 or 7 years apart, had been highlighted.
It was like a father and his son, and it was only like 4 years ago or something. And the son shot up. He's got so much older.
It's a lovely day out.
It's a lovely day out. Swearing
at quality
bonding.
But what the guy is doing, the exact same V sign, which I quite like. Yeah. That's his usual thing.
That's his standard bearer.
Yeah, a V fee sign's fairly standard, though, isn't it? I mean, I don't know how you deviate from it.
If it's not
that
broken,
mix up sometimes, wave them around.
Use different fingers, maybe.
I think it's more than fair enough. But it was Rooney's 200th Premier League goal, of course. Is there time? Is there time to reach 260?
I was thinking about this, not for long, and I don't think there is time.
No.
But just quickly, I know we don't want to do the whole show on Wayne Rooney, and we've got to talk a bit about club football and stuff and what's happening this weekend, but it's an argument to say that you didn't say this, but you maybe intimated that he was a little bit overrated, being referenced to Messi and Ronaldo and that sort of stuff. Now, of course, those two stand alone, and rightly so.
Yeah.
But I would make an argument in a certain way that Wayne Rooney, because he essentially looked like a potato, and I don't mean that in a facetious way, he wasn't the most marketable-looking
guy. With beautiful eyes, though.
Yeah, but I think if he looked like David Beckham, would he have been rated even more highly?
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you.
Possibly.
I do.
I think, again, it's the body shape, though, isn't it, for me? When he puts on a couple of pounds, he looks like a bloke who's put on 10 pounds.
Why are you looking at me when you're saying that? This is outrageous. Marcus, like, wrestle this back.
So, I mean, he's already a stocky kind of guy. So when you sort of see him jumping off a yacht in the middle of nowhere.
When he fully retires, he's going Ruddock.
Oh, he's going Ruddock, definitely. Yeah. He's going Brucey, Ruddock. Of the Middlesbrough 90s squad.
As I said, it's not a time to talk about that sort of stuff now. He's still about his career.
Do you remember when Antonio Cassano was asked what he planned to do when he retired, and he said, "I plan to eat everything."
Yeah.
I think it might be similar. Absolutely right.
But isn't that sad that these footballers have, you know, a millionaire lifestyle, and they've got everything at their foot, women throwing themselves at them, like money, we can do what they want, but they can't eat. They can't have a nice cheesecake every now and again, can they? They've got to be careful.
It's not that sad.
Peter.
It's not that sad.
It's
utterly worth the payoff.
Peter, I understand what you mean, but when they get into their late 30s, they'll make up for lost time. They will make up for lost
time. Women covered in cheesecake. I'm having it.
Women cake. Oh, dearie me. But Rooney has started very well for Everton, of course, couple of goals in his first two Premier League, well, return, of course, when it was back in Everton. They've got a good point at Manchester City. They're doing well. They're up against Chelsea at the Bridge this weekend. So essentially, two of their hardest games will be out the way early doors.
And we don't know really what type of Chelsea we're going to see, because clearly they were much more impressive against Spurs, but there was a very defensive sort of safety first type performance at a team they clearly thought would be a threat this season, and rightly so.
So this is a tricky one for them.
Against Burnley, they struggled badly. But first, I always say, and I hope the record will state that I've said this quite regularly since we've been doing the show, the first day of the season's a bit of a write-off. You know what you're going to get. It was for them. Yeah. I wouldn't put too much stock in that. But so we still, there's an element we don't really know sort of what Chelsea are all about. Whereas I feel like for some reason I've got a better idea in my mind what Everton are all about. So that'll be fascinating to see how that plays
out. Well-stocked is the word.
Rooney, as you said, Marcus, he started the season like a house on fire, really. And I think this England thing will be a weight off his mind, because whatever people say about how proud they are to play for their country, I'm sure they are. And by the way, Wayne Rooney didn't pull out of squads. He never pulled out of squads when he was an England player. But he's going to have a lot less travelling. He's going to spend a lot more time with his family. He's going to be a lot more settled, I think, which, given that the fact he's still got a lot of ability, could be an absolute boon for Everton. And I'll be interested to see how he fares against a good quality, defensively-minded Chelsea side, if indeed they go like that at home, which they may not.
That's presuming he won't be in the Europe squad, the Europa League squad.
Well, quite. Yeah.
Yeah, blimey.
Everton haven't won at Stamford Bridge in the Premier League since 1994. That is a hell of a run.
There was an amazing game. Was it at Stamford Bridge when Chelsea beat Everton 5-3 a couple of seasons ago?
Oh, that rings a bell.
Yeah. That was an amazing game. So fingers crossed it'll be similar to that.
Was that 94, 84?
Last season as 94. Well. I think it was 5-0, one of the performances of the season.
Koemans was like, yeah, I got that wrong.
Because back in 94, they were probably quite evenly matched, weren't they, Chelsea and Everton? They were both probably were better than Chelsea.
Everton were sort of...
Everton won the Cup in 95.
They did. And they were often around the relegation zone, I remember.
Everton are 13-2 with Bet365 to beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge anyway, so £10 on that. Will return £75, including stake. Chelsea still in for Oxlade-Chamberlain, which I think is fascinating purely because Arsenal, we talked about them earlier in the week with Ozil and Sanchez and the type of player that they may or may not be and what Arsenal should be doing. I think Oxlade-Chamberlain is exactly the type of player that Arsenal need. I mean, he wants to play. He works really hard. To me, he looks reasonably impressive in a number of different positions. If he can hold down a position particularly, I think he'd be a real asset to them, and they'd be crazy to let him go.
The problem is, mate, he's said to Wenger's face, according to all reports, that he doesn't want to sign a new deal. And I think a lot of it is actually down to nailing down a position. So exactly, right. You know, exactly his kind of benefit to Arsenal is exactly what he considers is hindering him. So
it's, sure, he said that he wants
barrel.
To stay.
Those are the reports.
I read somewhere that Wenger said that Oxlade Chamberlain wants to stay.
Well, the reports I've said have said that he's said to Wenger's face.
I heard that Wenger says
that deal.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has to say that he wants to stay at the club. So there's like three different reports saying three different things.
If I had 10p for every time Wenger said something which wasn't true this summer. I mean, earlier in the summer he said, I know definitely that Kylian Mbappe is not going anywhere. He's not moving.
Right.
And he's also said recently that the other Monaco player they're
Thomas
in for,
Lamar,
isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I would take that with a pinch of salt as well. So,
well, he said to Lamar that the deal between Arsenal and Monaco is dead.
Yeah.
Wenger also said, I did not see it, and he did.
But you sort of look at these players like Chamberlain, you sort of go, like, he's going to be a £40 million player, isn't he? Just simply because that's how the market is. Yeah. If you're from the top four, you go for £40 million. That seems to be how
not
it works.
Not in the top four, bruv.
Well, he used to be in the top four.
And he's short. The only thing to counteract that, though, is his contract is short. So he might be a bit cheaper, but obviously he's in demand. Mm. And the thing is, I got a feeling that, for example, Spurs, I mean, we talked about Chelsea going in for Danny Rose. I don't think Spurs would sell to Chelsea. The idea that Arsenal will sell to Chelsea, I think, is a little bit unsettling as well.
Yeah, we'll see, won't we? It depends on... It is very different, isn't it? It also depends what the club who are signing him want him for. Because, you know, if they want to play him as a wing-back where he's excelled, in the few games he's played there, that's not going to be great to him. Because he wants to play down the middle, and Chelsea aren't going to give him that.
It's true, Jim. It is very, very true. We move on to Manchester City. They were in Spain playing a friendly against Girona. The City Football Group buying up another team and all that kind of stuff.
A lot of big players played in that game as well.
A few did, Jim, but we're not wanting to talk about that, as you well know, because Lionel Messi's dad has been in Manchester City. No, I don't want to talk about that either. I want to talk about Benjamin Mendy. We could get some lols out of this guy this season. And that's what we're all about here. He got in trouble with some of the British pundits, Gerrard and Lampard included, with his comments on Twitter about Brighton's own goal, of course, against Manchester City. He tweeted bullet header and three laughing emojis.
Mm. Yeah, that's serious stuff.
That's a long giggle, that.
He also, I don't know why people are so upset about that. I think that's quite fun. Mm. But the thing he's done that's got himself in a little bit of serious trouble compared to that.
Yeah, well, the wrong side of the law.
The wrong side of the law is receiving a £60 parking fine for parking his Ferrari in a taxi rank. What people don't realise is Benjamin Mendy is currently suffering from a thigh strain. Mm-hmm. So it might just be that he wants to park as close to the building as possible. Man City fans should be applauding his foresight for not aggravating the injury.
Maybe he wanted to catch a taxi. Maybe Jim, he might be parking a taxi there.
He might have the Uber app on. He might fancy a taste.
Of Nando's. That's what he was getting.
Is that right? Is that was Nando's?
Just
how very on brand for a footballer.
Yeah,
I had a Nando's yesterday.
And you're not a footballer.
Come at me, bro.
Full of protein, Peter.
It is full of protein.
Manchester City rejected a £10 million bid from Swansea for Wilfred Bonner. Sell.
Throw
him a bone.
Set him free.
Yeah,
throw him
a bonnie. £13 million. I mean, come on.
The brass neck on that. 17 league goals in the last 3 years. Looks an absolute shell of a player.
£13 million.
I mean, genuinely, though, that could actually turn out to be a bargain, right? If Swansea can get the bonnie they sold, I know that's a big... Big if, but you know, Sigurdsson did very well when he went back. Obviously, very different players, but Swansea need goals.
Definitely. I think it would work. It could possibly work for Swansea. If I was a Man City fan, I'd be standing in a barrel of broken glass with him on my shoulders. I've been shuffling my way all the way to Swansea for that money.
What a thought.
Why stand in the barrel? You get there far quicker without it.
Take it to mainland Europe because my bonnie could lie over the ocean.
What's that? What are you talking about?
The whole thing, my bonnie lies over the ocean. My bonnie lies over the ocean.
Pete sometimes does this, but you've never heard it before.
So bring back my bonnie
to
me.
Swansea.
Bring back my bonnie to me.
There we are. That's what they'll be singing in the street.
I shall have a fishy on a little dishy. I shall have a fishy when the ball comes in.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute, we haven't got to an ad break yet. But now it's time. Oh, no, before we do that, actually, we should say Manchester City are away to Bournemouth, who themselves are looking for a new signing in the form of Damari Gray. They've reportedly had a £20 million bid rejected For Gray, and Leicester are wanting about 26 million.
Yeah, I mean, this is. I mean, if you want something, I know we've discussed this transfer window that the fees don't really mean an awful lot, but to put this into context, Leicester signed him for, I think, 3.7 million not that long ago. I mean, he's only 21 now. I think he's only just 21, in fact. He's not really been able to hold down a place at Leicester. He's got one goal and four assists in total since he's been there. I mean, £20 million.
Yeah, I know.
And quibbling over it as well.
This huge amount of money is just revolving around these different clubs. But yeah, Bournemouth are 17-2 with Bet365 to beat Man City at the weekend, which would be a huge scalp, of course. And £10 on that would return £95, including stake.
It's ridiculous the money. Ryan Sessegnon, the young Fulham player, who's very, very highly rated. I think Fulham turned down like £25 million from Spurs.
But I don't think there's any way that that's going to be money up front. I mean, you look at the Sissoko deal where he's talking about going to Juventus now from Spurs. The way Spurs structure their transfers, Sissoko, I think it was reported at £30 million, but what it actually was £6 million per year for 5 years.
Yeah, okay.
So if he only goes after after 2 years season, Spurs haven't paid £30 million for him, and I would imagine with Ryan Sessegnon, it would be a structured deal. Right. It's just that newspapers like reporting these massive numbers.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? There's no kind of standard way to do a transfer from everything I've understood about it. So, you know, as you say, it's just the papers make it. It's very easy and very sort of consumable kind of news, isn't it? To have these massive figures on things.
If you're trying to sell a newspaper, you're going to go for the highest number.
Of course.
It's like the Coutinho thing, a talk of 118 or something at that time, a week or so ago, and it was one of the factors that made up that transfer fee was if he won the Ballon d'Or. So it's quite unlikely to happen. So you have to take it with a pinch of salt anyway.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for some correspondence with that man, the people guy, Pete Donaldson.
The people guy returneth with a handful of A4 bleached white paper. Hello to Gavin. Gents, in the most recent episode, one of you mentioned that all pilots sounded the same. Apparently, this is because pilots in the beginning of the jet age tried to imitate the speech patterns of famous pilot Chuck Yeager.
Correct. Oh. It's all
is that
about
true?
It. The book that unveils that is Tom Wolfe's The Right Stuff, a bloody good read, and he's absolutely right.
I had no idea.
He must be American with a name like Chuck.
Yeah, Chuck Yeager was a very famous fighter pilot, wasn't he?
I think possibly... the first guy to break the sound barrier, possibly. Certainly one of the first few.
He had a lot of flight sims back in the
80s. That must be American pilots, though, he's talking
about. He had a very folksy tone.
Yeah, okay.
And so it was adopted, I think, to make people feel more settled in the first era of plane travel because they were quite nervous about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Take it to the Luton Pete show. Also, I visited Australia, says Gavin, and when coming into land in Brisbane, the pilot said, "Good day, we're going to be landing in Brizzo in a few moments."
Yeah.
So Brizzo!
I talked about this earlier in the week, and I forgot to mention my friend who told me about it is a guy called Adam Caveney, a good friend of mine. It was him who told me about it. G'day, we're going to Sydney.
Yeah.
Apparently in Australia they're a bit more laissez-faire with their announcements.
Aren't they always?
Yeah. Julian Marks sent a news clipping from Boston, basically of a dude trying to punch a police horse.
Nice to
see it happening over there too.
Geordie boys on tour.
Nice to see Newcastle the people of Newcastle getting a holiday.
A man called Mr. Pagan was charged with assault and battery on a police officer, resisting arrest and interfering with a police horse, which is an unwelcome sentence on your record, really, isn't it?
Mr. Pagan who goes around punching horses. What a character, let's say.
A relief.
I bet he's got a uniform and everything. Hello to dear Marcus, Pete, Jim and Luke. This is from Nigel. I enjoy the show. Stop it. Luke mentioned a lack of depth to United on Monday, so I thought I'd run this alternative starting 11 of full internationals by you, none of whom started in the 4-0 away win on Sunday. So Romero, Shaw, Smalling, Rojo, Darmian, Young, Herrera, Carrick, Lingard, Marouane Fellaini, Anthony Martial. Not too bad. And Ibra will join, presumably, at some point.
You can break that down a little bit, to be fair.
To be fair, Nigel, at least four of those players aren't that good.
Romero is not the number one for a reason. He's all right.
Young's not that good a couple of times.
Luke Shaw's had his troubles, I think.
Ashley Young's not that good in more than one position.
He said, I was going to suggest that Luke was perhaps wrong in his suggestion, but then I reread my team and noticed that I'd put Fellaini in, so I accept his point.
Fair enough, Nigel. I think that's the first Nigel's ever been in touch with us.
Do you reckon? No, we've had Nigels before. And I'm the guy who dispenses with the old show at the Football Ramble.
You
nonsense.
Are very, very trustworthy.
Very I remember things.
One thing about Pete when it comes to the emails is he runs a bloody tight ship.
Yeah, exactly. It's not the first ones that just appear in the email box.
Marcus, if I know Pete, he's probably got them all folded away, different sections.
When I look at Pete, I think there's a man who keeps records.
Yeah.
I'm up all night and I've got them. I've got all of them. I'm in a big high backed armchair and I've got all of the sheets
hard copies
in a crescent.
They do not call him Pete Paper Trail Donaldson for nothing.
They're taking the mic because I'm always just confused about where I'm supposed to be on any given day.
Because you're fly by night, basically.
Yeah. Right, and, night. I mean, and it's time for an ad break, ladies and gentlemen.
G'day, we're going to Brisbane.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I deeply regret the comments I made.
Didn't we all that day? Hang on a minute. Luke, you've got something marvellous to tell the listeners.
Yes, the first episode of On the Continent, our weekly look at European football with Andy Brassel and James Horncastle, is out now and will continue every Wednesday throughout the season. This week we discussed all the big guns, a bit of a scene setter, Neymar, Barcelona, the Milan clubs and Bayern, as well as some of your correspondents. From next week you'll have to subscribe separately, so if you haven't done so, please go and do that now by searching On the Continent on iTunes or wherever you get your pods.
I know I was on that particular podcast and will be every Wednesday, of course, but it was brilliant.
There we go.
It was brilliant. I listened to it last night while I was playing the video games and obviously preparing the emails for the show as well.
Yeah.
Really, really
with
fun.
Your feet.
Really fun, really interesting, really illuminating.
Give it a bash.
Yeah.
Give it a bash.
And what I would say is that Luke keeps using the worst picture of James Horncastle for the Twitter page.
On purpose, mate.
You're going to lose him. Yeah. He's not going to turn up onto the show.
He signed on. Well, I used a picture of him looking particularly dishevelled, and the first question back was, how long had James Horncastle been at sea when he took that photo? that's a sort of banter. So anyway, Marcus, back to you.
Just a little bit of bansos, which is the European form of it. Now, Liverpool beat Hoffenheim this week. And
they scored the goal of the season.
They did score.
Beautiful.
One of the goals of the season. Although Real Madrid and Casemiro would suggest they scored the goal.
But Kloppo loved it.
He did love it. Well, when it went in the back of the net, you must have seen that, ladies and gentlemen. What a move it was and what a goal that Emre Can got on the end of. And Klopp, you could see him scream, "That's football!"
When it went into the crowd as well.
Yeah. I thought he said, "This is football."
Something along those lines.
Because I was obsessed. Do you remember there was a video game called This Is Football back
in
the day?
Yes, I do remember that.
And you could have like really big players like Thierry Henry playing in like a schoolyard and stuff.
Okay.
Playing like jumpers a goalpost, and it had a dive button. Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Folks, wonderful.
This
memories.
Is football, I used to shout.
Well, the previous game when he shouted Virtuous Striker 2, that reminded me of a particular
one of the few video games that have Robbie Keane on the cover.
Was it? Yeah.
Robbie Keane in Ireland, and it was Kieran Dyer in England.
Wow.
So there we go.
I once went on a holiday with my parents to Florida when I was about 13. Mm. And I had a Super Nintendo at the time. And my mum said to me, "Oh yeah, when you're out there," because electronic stuff back in the day used to be cheaper in the US, right? She said, "Oh, you can have any game you want. You just get yourself a game as like a little present."
They're not region locked.
You had to get a little converter. Buy a converter.
Oh,
as well.
That's naughty.
Yeah, I know, right? It's fine.
Yeah. But that guy in the pub sold everything.
Obviously, like a total idiot, because I was like football obsessed. Like a total idiot, I decided to buy a football game in America.
And
at the time, it was like, I mean, it was just this game called Goal. It was the worst football game I've ever played. It was terrible.
I thought you were going to say you put it in and it was American football.
Yeah. No.
That would have been even better.
Gridiron, John Madden.
If anything, I was a bit disappointed with the outcome of that story.
But taking it back to Liverpool, I just want to get a takeaway from this game against Hoffenheim, because Liverpool promised to be entertaining this season, I think we all agree.
Well, they've started well.
But they've been handed an eminently winnable Champions League group, and I'm sure we'll talk about it in more depth next week on the continent. But
they've avoided Brendan Rodgers Celtic.
Well, which he'll be disappointed about. They've got Spartak Moscow, who won the league last season in Russia, but didn't score a huge amount of goals, and they're really struggling this season, and they're in pot one because they won their league. They've got Sevilla, who are a good team, but Liverpool would fancy them, certainly at home, and I'll come back to that in a second. And they've got Maribor, which you'd fancy them to be better than. So Julian Nagelsmann of Hoffenheim said something really interesting after the game at Anfield. He said Anfield got to his team.
That is interesting,
and that happens, and we've probably mentioned it on the show in the past. that happens and is really important because you can't underestimate just how much of a role Liverpool's history plays, not just here, but in Europe as well. And with teams who aren't necessarily that experienced, with players who aren't that experienced in Europe, go to Anfield in an evening. It's a cliche and all that, but it is intimidating.
For like 20-year-old players, though? Like for 25-year-old players?
It's not even necessarily about the history in the minds of those players, though. It's the noise there, the atmosphere. We've all seen how incredible it can be on those European nights. And then in Jurgen Klopp, I don't think there's probably a better manager in the world in terms of like whipping that up. He's so good at it, shouting "That's football" into the Liverpool night.
Should
I mean, that is exactly
that sort of
what they want.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, incredible. They did get to the Europa League final, of course, and at Anfield. Mm. I mean, that game against Dortmund when they turned it around.
Yeah, it was
Dortmund, wasn't it? When they turned it around,
it was. Yeah,
which was sensational.
And they beat Man United on the way as well. And I've not been party to a European night at Anfield, so I can't confirm what Jim's saying there. I just meant, I'm sure he's right, but I just meant the history of it.
I think even for
younger players, I do think it is because they know about Liverpool. Liverpool are world famous. They are players they've had down the years. They've won 5 European Cups. I mean, it's big. It's like, it's not that different to going to one of the real European super giants these days, I don't think, in terms of the history, and the club is just dripping.
It would like going to watch play against Milan or something like that. They've been underwhelming for a little while, in the last decade.
So. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I just thought it was an interesting comment.
No, I think so, and I think that is a good draw for Liverpool, not so good for Spurs, and despite Wembley's history, that history may go against them.
It might do,
because you'd imagine Real Madrid turning up, going, "Yeah, this is our stage.
Yeah.
This will do nicely. Thanks very much."
We talked a bit about the Wembley thing on Monday, didn't we? So we shouldn't probably go into that. It's a tough group for them, but I will say Dortmund probably aren't the team they were. I saw them in the Champions League final a few years ago. They're not that team, but they're still a decent proposition.
Very much, especially if Dembele goes to Barcelona, which looks like he is. Manchester United, that's a good draw for them. And with Ibrahimovic coming back in,
yeah,
it's the one trophy that he's missing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is the Champions League.
I don't think he'll win it this year.
Such a sort of modern football moment early on. I was reading about the Zlatan thing, just really casually at the end of an article. Ibrahimovic was quick to take to social media, tweeting, "I United it," above an image of him arm wrestling Satan.
Yeah.
Just so casual.
He did a great video of him doing roundhouse kicks on a punch bag as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he put the quote underneath, "Which knee?" Enjoyable.
I could have flipped the image, you don't know.
He could have done. Yeah. Exactly, enjoyable.
But you mentioned Julian Nagelsmann earlier. Obviously, his Hoffenheim team, they're not going to be in the Champions League. It was a bit of a shame because he's a very, very good young coach, of course. Although he was slagged off a bit for his attire on the touchline at Anfield, suggestions that he looked like an extra from American Pie.
I mean, as a distinctive-looking man myself, in terms of I get a lot of criticism for the beard and all that sort of, he is quite an interesting-looking bloke.
Yes.
I think he looks a bit like a guy who used to go down the local car park near where he used to live and look at his car. Like car enthusiast,
something for everybody.
Yeah. But people say he dresses like American.
I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
He was looking,
I can see that with chinos and the
he had life that preserver.
Look. I don't think he did have a jumper over his shoulders, but he very much. Could have.
Was he a bit preppy?
That's
then?
A yogi after.
Yeah. Preppy is the word.
A CBS preppy man.
He's only 30, younger than Wayne Rooney, mental.
Yeah. There we are. The other person who was getting a lot of pelters at Anfield that night was Dejan Lovren. He's very unpopular with the Liverpool faithful, isn't he?
So I saw
the Southampton faithful as well.
So I saw Big Sam Allardyce today saying that, I mean, the context of this is that Liverpool are after Virgil van Dijk. Apparently, we've heard about this for ages, and Lovren was... I didn't see the game last night in its entirety, but I saw the first leg, and Lovren made some mistakes in that one as well. And the talk, Big Sam Allardyce was asked about van Dijk, and he said... I mean, you know, look, Allardyce achieved a lot in the game, so he knows a bit about it. He said, as far as I'm concerned, Mamadou Sakho's good enough. He should be playing for them. He should be starting for them.
Allardyce is obviously a huge fan because Sakho was crucial.
We had him at Palace on loan.
He was crucial for Palace.
I just thought it was an interesting angle.
No, and it's lovely to hear about Big Sam Allardyce back in the public eye. Unless you met him in a restaurant.
Sakho isn't... I mean, I'm not suggesting... I think Van Dijk's a good player, actually. But Sakho is an international player. He's almost been forgotten about at Liverpool.
Sakho's a strange one, isn't he? Because he's not a player who likes the ball at his feet, and Liverpool do like to play out from the back. But at the same time, could they sometimes do with a bit of a wrecking ball just clearing the lines there? I think Klopp knows better than
I think there's a bit of a personality clash there potentially as well. There's reasons why Klopp is not playing Sakho.
Anyway, Liverpool are playing Arsenal at the weekend, and a thigh rubber of the weekend, probably one of the thigh rubbers, and the draw between these two on Sunday afternoon is priced at 13-5 with Bet365. It's £10, that returns £36 should there be a stalemate.
Indeed. Just one little mention in the Champions Champions League as well before we move on. Chelsea in the same group as Atletico Madrid. Will we see Diego Costa in the away end at Stamford Bridge?
That'd be funny. He won't be able to play for him until the new year if he goes there, so that would be interesting. If
Fly over from Brazil.
Yeah, I'd love to see him at the away. That'd be brilliant.
It would be absolutely...
Looking really overweight.
Great, wasn't it? Still a contracted Chelsea player. Yeah.
Pie in one hand, pint in the other.
I don't start yet.
Yeah. Giving it the V's when the ball scores.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Laughing at all the players trying to get like Christmas off.
Yeah.
Got half a season off.
Absolutely brilliant. But from the Champions League, we move to the big one, the Carabao Cup. And Newcastle are out of it, Peter.
They're out of it. Yeah. We were saved the 22 minutes late cup draw at 4:50 in the morning.
In China?
In China, Shanghai.
It's like they're purposely mugging off the fans. But yeah. Pete, would it make you feel a little bit better to know that Newcastle now haven't won a competitive match for over 3 months?
Well, what I would say is that Nottingham Forest did get an away tie at Chelsea, so at least we saved that embarrassment.
There we go.
There we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. That's something, isn't it?
Me, I'd rather not be in it.
Concentrate on the league, eh?
Yeah. Pete, rather than playing Chelsea away in a cup competition, would you rather fold the club?
I'd rather fold the entirety of St James's Park so it's like two parts of an Easter egg and just clamp it shut with all the people in it and then just put a Sports Direct banner around the side. It would just be the Newcastle Sports Direct statue.
What happened to the people?
They die, Jim.
Benitez inside or out?
What?
Benitez in it or outside of the Easter egg?
No, he should be in it. I knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have stayed now.
I'll have to eat my way out.
I love Pete's,
this big steel egg.
I love Pete's rationale about that. Imagine if like Newcastle had a great season, finished fifth or something like that. Oh, did you not in the Champions League? Real Madrid would have probably taken us apart.
We could have been drawn against Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Man United.
Far away, Spartak
big
Moscow.
Steel
is.
Egg. Yeah. Big steel egg.
Going back to the country's premier cup competition, the Carabao Cup. Mm-hmm. There were some good draws in there.
There were some upsets. Bristol City beat Watford.
And I love the idea of, you know, the draw for the round when the big guns come in.
Yeah.
We're doing that in China.
Damn right we are.
4:50 in the morning. By the way, and the good thing is, it's not on any TV station. So if you want to keep up with that, you have to watch it on Twitter. And also, if that's not bad enough, we're not going to update the Twitter for another hour.
It was late, wasn't it? Yeah. 22 minutes late before they even started drawing the things out.
To be fair, boys, I mean, it's a global game now. And are we not sort of, you know, are we not thinking about the big fans of the League Cup in China?
Well, obviously we're not. And also, to be doubly fair, did you see the state of the draw last round?
Yeah.
We massively mucked it up, so maybe the best thing for it to go overseas.
Yeah, that's true.
Was there like a video feed, or was it they were just doing it like draw by draw? Because I like to see a video feed of actually being drawn,
Pete,
surely.
I was in bed. It was 4:30.
Do you know what they should have done? Is, you know, like when you stay up late for the boxing and it's pay-per-view, they should have made the draw pay-per-view. If you're going to stick the right foot in, you might as well stick the left foot in as well.
And then embargo it, and you don't know which team is playing which until you buy the ticket.
But as I said at the time, like it's for audiences that, like, so 11. It was like 11:30, the draw. That's too early for a draw anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Doesn't make any sense.
Pete, also, what they should do is, I agree with Marcus, they should embargo it as well, and then what they should do is, when you're going to watch it on TV, it's just question mark, and you don't know until the teams come out of the tunnel. Oh, damn. I got blooming Plymouth against Portsmouth.
Who've only found out they're playing each other today.
Yeah, and they're wearing the same colour kit.
But before
we move on to that, Manchester United are favourites for the League Cup / EFL Cup / Carabao Cup. That's one cup, not three different ones.
Yep.
And they're currently priced at 5-1 with Bet365. So £10 on them will deliver £60, including stake, should they win it.
If they did win the cup, I think Mourinho would consider it a double. Win the Carabao Cup and the League Cup.
Mm.
Yeah, that's what we did.
Yeah, those three got three there. The League Cup, the EFL Cup and the Carabao
Cup.
It's treble, if anything.
It's all in there.
It's treble. Get the BBC documentary going. This Is Your Life back.
DVD sales, the lot.
Yeah.
The flipping lot. What is our best bet with Bet365?
It is from Mr. Tom Earle, a brand new man in the hot seat after last week's failure. He's keeping it short and sweet. He says, "Hello, my bet of the week is Watford to beat Brighton 2-0. I saw Brighton at Leicester and they looked awful. Thanks, Tom Earle."
Keeping it short. I like that.
This is currently 21-10, so our £50 will return £155, including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, go to gambleaware.co.uk. So it is Watford to beat Brighton 2-0. 21-10. So look out for that this weekend. Watford, I said earlier in the week, Watford are going under the radar at the moment. I think this is a good bet, actually.
Right. I think we're all agreed on that. Let's look ahead to the weekend then, eh, chaps?
Yeah, before we look ahead to the weekend, I just wanted to say something I forgot to mention earlier around the Champions League draw. Did you see Francesco Totti laughing as he drew Juve with Barcelona?
Well, did he?
So, obviously, he's a big Roma man, and Juve were already in Group D. He drew out the second thing, he drew out Barcelona. He looked over to Gigi Buffon and laughed at him.
Did he? He's Roma boys, though. They're in with Chelsea, Atletico and Karabag from Azerbaijan. Unknown quantity.
I enjoyed Nigel Martin playing cricket. Rather, being in goal during England cricket. He's a big cricketer. That's what he plays, though. He doesn't play any football.
But there is no goalkeeper in cricket.
There is now.
There's a man behind the post, isn't there?
Wicket keeper.
I don't know what you call
it. The same thing. They both wear gloves.
Yeah, exactly.
We haven't got time to get into this. Looking ahead to the weekend, first up, Benjamin Glover. He says, as an Everton fan, I'm most looking forward to seeing which wardrobe assistant Conte has listened to this week. If it's the old-fashioned sensible one with a traditional moustache, the sharp Italian suit will come out and we'll be spanked.
Yep.
If he listens to hip young Tina, then he'll don the tracksuit and the spankers become the spankies. We might have to think about deploying Koeman in some shorts beforehand to lull Big Cont into a casual vibe.
Big Cont.
It's Mufti Day, that's what you used to call it, isn't it?
That's right, Mufti Day.
I'd love Conte to come out dressed in a full suit. Ronnie Kay comes out shorts and flip flops. Everton win. He gives him a little ruffle.
Yeah,
love that. I'd love that.
And he's got a copy of Screwball Scramble under his arm.
Yeah,
it's the last day of school. Yeah, away you want. Bring your toys in.
That'd be great. Next up, Theo Sayers. Watching my mighty Bolton Wanderers slip to another heartbreaking yet ultimately inevitable defeat. This time to Hull, having not signed a player for cash for the last five seasons and only being able to pay $4,500 in wages because of an endless transfer embargo. But I'm not bitter. Doesn't sound like it, Theo. Oliver. Bailey, the Tony Pulis derby looks potentially unsatisfactory. Agree.
Yeah.
It's got prime time billing though, isn't it?
On telly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Straight yourself in for that. What have we got here? Rick Fry, who's a West Ham fan, he says Newcastle being without a point or a goal in the league until West Ham charitably roll into town with gifts in hand.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I think we need to win these matches. It was probably a draw.
He says I give it till 3:05. I saw an amazing stat actually on that note. My mate Tommy, who's a West Ham fan, said in the last 50 league games, West Ham have conceded 91 goals.
And Mitro scored in midweek, so that's
all
I'm saying.
It's on. And a couple more here. Tom's having a dig at Marcus. Tom Inamorati says, I'm looking forward to Aaron Moy being called Adrian Moy again. Dig at you, that.
No, I'm not going to do it, so I'm yours.
Joke's on you, Tom.
Yeah, and actually, it's the weekend, and the show doesn't come out until late Monday, early Tuesday. Yeah. So
the joke is on him, Marcus.
Yeah, very much so.
And this is one, possibly Pete can chip in and give some advice to. Joe DC says, I'm getting married tomorrow.
Oh.
Any advice for him, Pete?
During the service, or...
Happy wife, happy life?
In the evening.
Well, not in the evening. Don't get diggery out. Are you DJing this wedding? Can I tell you something now? If you're DJing this wedding, I DJed with Pete a week and a half ago. He set it up, right? It won't surprise you to know, Marcus. Mm-hmm. Did a couple of songs. We were doing it back to back. Did a couple of songs, just left. Well, just in the venue talking to people, drinking
Peter,
beers.
You're acting like you're on the radio.
I was terribly upset because Luke basically demanded like the most esoteric, mad indie songs that were never going to get played. And then he had the balls to steal my Jay-Z song and play that out. So I'm right, Luke. You play it yourself.
He stole your
I'm going to get drunk.
Song.
Yeah.
Listen to you.
I wrote it. Pete Coe wrote that.
99 Problems.
Pete Coe wrote that.
I've got 100 now.
Yeah, right. But keeping records, they won.
We got paid the same. Pete did nothing.
Jim, are you looking forward to anything on the weekend?
Lauren Koscielny.
It's been too long, pal.
Yeah,
fair enough. I'm looking for, he probably won't play, but if he does, Adnan Januzaj, he signed for Real Sociedad for $8 million. Man United have a buyback clause, you know. Oh, yeah. Never burn your bridges. This is modern football. Adnan told reporters that he will dedicate his first goal that he scores for Real Sociedad to Louis van Gaal, as they didn't get on very well at Old Trafford, and van Gaal basically wanted him out of the club. And I thought, you don't understand how dedications work, really.
It's petty. It's petty, isn't it?
If when you've scored it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're creating a problem here.
Rest assured, by the way, if I know anything about Louis van Gaal, he literally no longer knows who Adnan Januzaj is. He's well and truly got
and
rid
to
of
be
him.
Honest, when, you know, he's going to pass away probably sooner than Januzaj, if you're ever in for a spooking, I bet Van Gaal's bang up for that.
What are you going on about?
What? Who would you be? Yeah, you wake up in the middle of the night and a ghostly apparition that is Louis Van Gaal is at the bottom of your bed shouting, listen to saxophone lady! And then the ghost saxophone lady comes in. Oh, it'd be a mess.
Do you, can I just finish this off by
that
saying...
That would be a mess.
At time of recording, Louis Van Gaal is very much alive.
Do you experience a lot of Dutch ghosts in the night?
Yeah, yeah. Kind of do.
Oh, what about Leeds signing the Dutch player?
Oh, J. Roy Grott.
Lovely.
Is that his
name? Nice. Fantastic.
I think that's his name. You sprung that on me there. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think that's his name.
No, I think that is.
I think
right,
it's yeah. Darren. Darren Grott.
Adrian Grott.
Adrian Grott.
Right, there ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. It's been an absolute pleasure. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye to Grossy Pete.
Listen to Saxophone Lady.
Goodbye from me.
Ooh.
It doesn't matter how I feel. I'm not frustrated. Why I have to be frustrated? That's good. So, you know that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.